This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Later on the show, with tax season underway, we'll have advice for protecting yourself from tax fraud and identity theft. Starting us off today, being a teenage girl isn't always easy. With concerns about appearance, often driven by the media, it can be difficult for young women to feel in tune with themselves. Founded more than a decade ago in 2005, the True Body Project empowers girls to connect to their bodies and develop authentic voices to be their true selves. Participants study body image, gender, media, and more, and advocate for the health and safety of girls around the globe. The founder, Stacy Sims, works with clinical and direct care staffs on self-care and understanding how stress and trauma affect the body. Stacy Sims joins us along with Deborah Alsop, Executive Director and CEO of Families Forward, a United Way of Greater Cincinnati agency partner, and school psychologist for Cincinnati Public Schools, Sarah English. You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Sarah, Deborah, and Stacy, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Stacy, how common a problem is this for young women?
Unfortunately, I think it's a tremendous problem for young women and young men, and perhaps all of us, to continue to feel really connected to our best selves with all the pressures of our modern world.
Deborah, how common a problem is this from your perspective? How often do you see this kind of thing?
Well, I think it's very common, and I think it starts early. It's not just teenage girls. Preschool girls become teenage girls. And one of the things that has been so gratifying for us as an agency, we provide full-day services in 4 Cincinnati public schools and have done that for about 15 to 20 years. With the True Body Project, we had a conversation a couple of years ago about moving our project down to some of our younger ladies. And I think that has been very, very tied into social-emotional learning, which is a very important part of your true self, your whole self. So it's very common for very young ladies, preschool and up, to begin to look at themselves as a whole person. And unfortunately, body image is shaped a lot by the media. And so I think bringing young girls to the recognition that their bodies are beautiful and it's all a part of their true self has been very important for our programming over the last 5 or 6 years.
Has the media changed over the years and how it handles this issue?
I think Sarah was just doing some research yes. about that.
Yes, I think when I was in high school, we had more of a paper media. It was magazines that contributed to our awareness of our bodies and what we should be looking like. Whereas now, these girls and boys are getting it. It's a pervasive issue across their phones, TVs, movies. It's not something that you can, like a magazine, just close and put away. It's something that they're constantly reminded by.
How often do you see this as an issue in your work as a school counselor?
I am in an all-girls parochial high school, so we have it's something that I deal with every single day. The girls who are seeing images across both media, but then their social counterparts as to what their expectations for themselves should be.
Stacy, media is a contributing factor to this, but that's not the whole story. I mean, what are some of the other factors that contribute to this?
Golly, so many things. And as Deborah said, our ability to have a positive relationship with our body and to be resilient really begins in the youngest parts of childhood. So the research now shows that how you managed your early relationships with parents and others speaks to how well you're going to handle the stress of growing up, adolescence and beyond. So it has to do with family stressors, poverty stressors, certainly social media driving up loads of dopamine in the body, lots of hormones that create a lot of stress are also adding to the challenge.
So how difficult is it to be a teenager today compared to, say, when we were growing up? I mean, the teenagers have always been difficult. Is it more difficult nowadays?
I would say that it sure seems to me to be increasingly difficult, that we have so many expectations for our youth to do well, while they are, the statistics show that upwards of 40, 60 to 80 hours a week is the amount of media they're taking in. That means on their phones, that means on Snapchat, that means on Instagram. So that is a ton of content that's shaping their brain. They're also, imagine if you think back to when you were in junior high school and you were expected to create almost like an avatar of your own identity and start to broadcast that out. We're asking them through social media platforms to create this image of themselves before they even have any idea who they are. And the image starts to become very narrow. Depending on where you live and what seat in the bleachers of life you sit in, then that image starts to become so reductionist to being a whole happy human. So it's tricky.
Mark, I think it's differently difficult now.
Differently difficult.
Yes.
Okay.
How you like that?
I like that a lot, actually.
Than when I was a teenager back in the day. And I want to give this kind of funny analogy about women. Back in the 60s, and this was way before Title IX, girls could not play the whole basketball court. You could only play to half court. And you could not dribble the ball. You could not dribble. So you were bounce passing up. And when I tell younger ladies that, they look at me and say, really? You couldn't play you couldn't play the whole court. It's different now because women can play the whole court, Title IX, and you can even dunk if you can dunk. So, you know, there wasn't media. We had print. We had black and white TVs that looked like furniture. The TV was maybe 14 to 16 inches, but the cabinet was, you know, several feet.
And you had maybe three channels, too.
Yeah, and there was no cable. And, you know, if you had color, you were upper class.
That was pretty fancy.
That was pretty fancy back in that day. So I think the media, and as Sarah said, the types of exposure that our children and students have, there are benefits to it because we're globally connected now through the media, where we weren't 30, 40, 50 years ago, but there have been unintended consequences that we have not thought about as we look at ourselves as human beings in a global society. And again, I think the earlier the better that we're able to help our children shape their self-images, because there's so many factors that are way beyond their control.
And not to mention that if you look at the statistics for sexual abuse, 1 in 5 women by the time they're 18 will be a victim of sexual violence. The figures for boys are around 1 in 6. So, and then if you think that poverty is also trauma, that a lot of the people who live in our community have suffered trauma and likely have not been given all of the tools and resources to turn that around. The good news is that if we couldn't survive and thrive after trauma, we wouldn't have survived as a species. It's really trying to make sure that we start to get tools and resources, which are quite simple, to the youth in our schools as early as possible.
Sarah, what are some of the signs that a teenage girl is struggling and uncomfortable with her body and her body image? What should people look for?
Some of the things that I have, just with talking with the girls, just increased time on Instagram and other forms of social media, because in those times they are kind of escaping the real world connections that you can have with people. I've also found a lot of body checking, you know, touching different parts of their body to see if it's bigger or smaller than it was 20 minutes ago. I've also seen girls, you know, just self-deprecating comments saying, you know, I don't like my hair today, or my legs are so big. Just kind of fishing for people to say, oh, no, they're not. No, they're fine. Just like looking around in the hallway and listening, you can see a lot of those kinds of things happening all the time.
But also, I think sometimes, we were talking about this earlier, sometimes the eating and or the cutting or some of these other behaviors are really ways to feel control.
Yes.
In a world that feels out of control. And sometimes the highest achievers are under the highest amount of stress. And because eating disorders don't necessarily indicate what size you're going to be, oftentimes in our culture, we end up praising the thin girl who does well in school. So sometimes it's almost impossible to see how unwell they are unless you get to have these close personal relationships like Sarah does in schools and like we get to have in schools, where you deepen the conversation.
Yes. This is stemming from a conversation that we were having about one of the research studies that I was looking at indicated that a student who is struggling with their body image, it directly correlates to low grades, low GPAs in school. And when I was talking to the girls about that, the girls that I had in my room disagreed with it and said that at the times in their lives where they have struggled the most with their body image, they actually did the best in school because it was a fear of failure. And their perfectionistic tendencies carried across their home life, personal life, school life. And it was just kind of a symptom of their need of being perfect.
And it's different, like when we work with the students in the schools we work with through Families Forward, those girls are not likely to spend as much time thinking about body image. They do. But what they have is they're worried about, is my brother going to live on because he's on the streets? Am I going to get to see my dad who's incarcerated? Are we going to be able to get enough food? I mean, they're completely different kind of stressors that children in our community experience every single day.
And I think one of the things, and we started with True Body Project at Withrow University High School several years ago, and we started with a very diverse group of girls, multicultural girls from Africa, French-speaking girls, and I think, you know, as our society becomes more diverse, we can't put these problems into a square box because cultures also dictate norms around beauty, body type, image, self-esteem. And I think that's going to become even more and more critical. So we've seen that in the girls that we worked with at Withrow and in our other schools.
We have. And what we're really doing is holding a space for the girls to express themselves and have experiences with their body and with writing and art making and movement and meditation that just allows them to feel better in their own skin, have their voice heard, and become more empathetic to the girls they may see every day by speaking more truthfully.
And we will continue our conversation about the True Body Project. And you can join us at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. My guest this afternoon, True Body Project founder Stacy Sims, Deborah Alsop, Executive Director, CEO of Families Forward, a United Way of Greater Cincinnati agency partner, and school psychologist for Cincinnati Public Schools, Sarah English. You can join our conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Stacy, tell us some more about the True Body Project. It started back in 2005.
It did.
What was the thinking behind it when you started this?
My thinking, I had had the opportunity throughout that year to meet high school girls, and it occurred to me that their lives were becoming even more difficult than when I was a high school girl, and I thought that was hard enough. So I sensed that there were missing rituals of connecting to oneself and connecting in a meaningful way with others. So the Awesome Artworks allowed me to pilot a six-week program with girls that included movement, exercise, you know, yoga, Pilates, boxing, climbing, as well as art making, writing, and sharing what it's like to live in a female body. So that's really how it started. And we created a ton of curriculum that then has been shifted into all different kinds of practices in schools, during schools, camps, international programs since then.
What's a day like in the program?
It usually begins with some sort of opening exercise that brings the body into the room. So it might be something fun where you wake up the energy in your body. It might be some meditation. And then we might introduce ourselves by way of saying something like, my name is Stacy, and here's a time when I felt especially connected to my body today, versus here's a time today when I didn't feel very connected to my body. Then we might do a writing prompt that might be, I hunger for. And we might make a poem out of it, or we might make a piece of artwork. And then we might do a little bit more movement that is based around feeling centered through breath and or movement. So that's kind of what the frame is like. We try not to only think about how our body feels. We like to kind of reverse engineer our thinking by having different experiences, more positive experiences with our bodies.
And knowing you, because you've been involved in City Silence, mindfulness events, mindfulness has got to play a big role in all this.
Absolutely, it is. We have used mindful meditation and basically body sensing and becoming body aware for over 10 years. And we created City Silence as a way to start to bring these mindful techniques in either small or larger doses to more and more people on a regular basis, mainly because everyone is stressed out. Life is rough. We need breaks. Our bodies and our minds need breaks.
Now, Deborah, tell me about Families Forward, about what your organization is about.
Families Forward is a 145-year-old organization. We started out as the Ohio Humane Society for the Protection of Animals. And we were started because of concerns about horses pulling milk wagons up Broadway. And so we've had several iterations, if you will. In the early 1950s, in 1915, we became a community chest agency, and we were known as the Juvenile Protection Association, trying to prevent dropouts and juvenile delinquency. So we are one of United Way's charter agencies, and United Way celebrated its 100th anniversary. Fast forward to 1991, our mission changed again, and we switched to school-based services. Cincinnati Public Schools is our host partner, if you will. We work at Withrow High School, Bond Hill Academy, Carson School, and Hayes Porter. And we are one of several community learning centers in Cincinnati Public, providing social work interventions, homework help, enrichment activities, social and emotional learning, tutoring, ACT prep, family engagement. So our relationship with the True Body Project and others kind of came in our after-school program. That's where we started out.
Tell them about our big award.
Well, we just got a big award from the Ohio Department of Education on February 2nd as part of their 21st Century Summit, and that's a federal grant that the state has. And we were awarded the Youth Development Award statewide, only one, for the True Body Project and our partnership with them.
I know, it's pretty exciting, right?
Yeah, quite an accomplishment.
Yeah,
so we were very excited.
Well, how many young women have gone through the True Body Project, Stacey?
Oh my gosh, thousands now, I would think. And now we start as early as the third grade,
right,
with Families Forward, and I can't lead all of those. So what's really awesome is I get to come here and talk about this work while wonderful teachers are carrying on the work who I've trained are carrying on the work in the schools, right, and in more schools than the Families Forward schools.
Hey, this is an issue for young men as well, body image. Is True Body Project starting to branch out and work with young men?
Absolutely. I had the wonderful experience of co-experiencing the True Body Project curriculum with high school seniors at Marymount High School this year. And they were so fantastic, and I learned a ton. So we're rewriting all of our workbook materials to be more gender neutral or co-ed. And starting this summer, when we do True Body programming for Upspring for homeless youth, the summer camp, will be our pilot launch of the program that's a little easier for both boys and girls to do.
For the young women who've gone through the program, what kind of an impact has it had? What have you seen?
Well, even though I think social media can be really difficult, I get to stay connected and watch their lives change and flourish, which is thrilling. Some of the girls have become active in leadership with True Body, and other girls, I think what we provide is an anchor to feeling like someone cares about them and they can find their true self and express some of their difficulties at a time where they may need it the most. And I really do think a lot, that's what Sarah does. That's what the Families Forward program does, is be an anchor for when you just start to feel like you're not enough.
Sarah, what's your advice for young people who are struggling with their body image?
I think the most important thing is to find a trusted person, a trusted adult that you can talk to about it. I think, you know, as your mind gets cluttered with all of those thoughts, you need to release them so you can make room for other things. And they're not going to go anywhere. They're just going to keep ruminating. And so if you can talk to somebody about it and let them know that this is what you're feeling, you can have somebody checking in on you and asking very pointed questions. How are you today? And really listening for the answer. And I think that's invaluable in any person's life.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and as far as parents and family members go, how can they help out?
I think just
on the sounding board, right?
Yes, on that flip side, you know, really pay attention to what your child is doing in school. I have noticed, I've worked in every single grade level, elementary, middle, and high, and I find the least parent participation, oddly enough, in the high schools. And I think if parents showed as much interest in their high schooler as they do when they're in preschool, and, you know, attend the events, have conversations with the teachers, have conversations with your child, instead of just thinking everything is okay because you don't see any of the warning signs. I think that could be invaluable.
Sarah, Deborah, and Stacey, thank you for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
True Body Project founder Stacey Sims, Deborah Alsop, who's executive director and CEO of Families Forward, a United Way of Greater Cincinnati agency partner, and school psychologist for Cincinnati Public Schools, Sarah English. Coming up, how to guard yourself against tax fraud and identity theft as we near that tax filing deadline. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.